Season 7, Episode 6, Free to Air, The Blue Channels, and Digging in the Trenches. Have you guys heard about the airline kerfuffle? Nudges Sarah as she shares a media report. There was a flaw in the movie selection technology. It was a bit romantic. Maybe a bit too romantic, agrees Alan. Alan shares a work health and safety prosecution case involving a trench collapse on a worker, and this leads to Trage and Alan reflecting on historic-related cases. Trage shares more on the harrowing reality of victim impact statements. To link this back to work redesign, Sarah explains a fundamental aspect of design strategy and creating problem-based design statements. And a warning to our listeners, this episode includes discussion on both sex and serious workplace fatalities and injuries. As always, we advise listener discretion. Podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
Have you guys heard about that kerfuffle with Qantas? It's just in the news media.
Well, how unfortunate.
What, the recent court case?
No, it's not a court case.
No, it's not a court case, but they were...
The improvement notice.
They were required to apologise for accidentally showing an explicit R-rated movie on their flight. Oh. So there was a flaw in the functioning of their technology, their movie screens, and they had to select a movie. And
I think the staff were trying to do something nice and
something real nice for some people.
That was the problem. So they wanted to, because the technology wasn't working properly, they said, well, let's just play a movie for everyone to watch.
They
did select a movie, but it was a bit romantic, maybe a bit too romantic for the entire flight.
Well, funny you should say that, because I was returning on the flight and there was a movie, because I try and watch about 5 movies per flight, so I just go hard and watch all these movies. It was quite a violent movie, so that in itself was an issue. It was MA or MA plus, but it was exceptionally raunchy to the point where...
were you worried about who was watching next to you, thinking, oh, just put my hand up and just...
And I was. I started moving aside and I thought, getting back to this R-rated, I was sort of having issues with it. So whilst it wasn't under the pretense of an R-rated movie, the scenes were extremely explicit, in my opinion, beyond MA 15, and yet there it was. So
this movie, apparently, if the media is correct, this movie, because it was really hard to get Qantas to confirm this, but apparently the Washington Post and Deadline report that it was Daddy-O, a 2023 drama starring Dakota Johnson and Sean Penn. Dear Daddy-O, right? So this is going to get all this attention. Everybody's going to check out this film now. They got some free advertising, right? So it's a dialogue-heavy film, but there are some parts that are not exactly meant for children, is what they say. Its R rating is for adult language, sexual material, and brief graphic nudity. But graphic is the key word. Not brief, but graphic. Photos of nude female breasts. Most breasts are nude when they're shown, aren't they? And a prosthetic penis. So... Now, let me ask you guys, since this workplace side sort of related, we've got...
Don't you dare ask if we've got prosthetic.
No, I was not going to ask that question. I wasn't even going there. But, all right, so you've got flight crew. It's their workplace, right? Their workplace, they have to deal with this and the complaints. But you've also, what happens if you sent me from the university, you sent me for work travel, and I was exposed to that? Who's responsible?
Control. So, obviously, you'd be asking questions about... Because a reputable airline, you'd be
asking airline,
about,
right?
Why are you showing that? But it does raise, doesn't it? It does raise exposure.
But hold on a second. The If a person made a workers' compensation claim,
yeah, it triggered.
I was traumatized. Yeah. Traumatized,
they might,
boys.
They might be. Well, they could be triggered by it. They might be successful in their, depending on which state they're from, but they might be successful in their workers' comp claim, which would impact on the employer because the premium would jump up.
That's it. Look, it's possible. So, and these are legit questions.
Multiple workplaces, right? So a lot of times you think of airplanes as just recreational, but hang on, it's a workplace for the flight crew and the pilots, right? And all of the contracting staff and the baggage claim and the X-ray people, this is their workplace.
It's their workplace.
And we've done work in airlines and control rooms and even the checked baggage and X-ray screening, right? We've done work on their experiences. So here you have this airplane, you've got a customer experience issue, which, you know, air service would be a lot like education and healthcare, where it'd be like, well, it's the customer experience matters more. Like, they think of external customers more so than their internal customers. But their flight crew would have to deal with a great many issues here. And now we've just, I think this even made like the Tonight Show in the US. It's gone all over. Jokes everywhere here.
Yes, just wonder how that could occur, like a glitch.
Meow.
It's phenomenal.
Can you imagine it's all happening? You're like, whoa, wind this back. We can't turn the off button. How do we stop this?
Would have been
funny you should say that, and this is a great segue. Let me tell you about my trip to Slovenia again. We stayed at it was booked from, you know, with the travel agent. So it was a apartments, but the
condominium.
It was in the old part. So,
whatever.
Yeah, like one of those what if things. So it was fantastic. It was great. So I thought, right, I'll chill out.
Airbnb.
Yeah, but it wasn't an Airbnb. It was like that. It was an otherwise private residence, but it was a villa. So I turned on the telly because you do, and the music channels, 200 channels, and I kept up, and then suddenly there it was, the most explicit XXX rated pornographic, and of course,
Are you being charged this video?
I thought, okay, this is weird. It's not locked. So then I move to the next channel and another channel and another channel. There were no less than 10 separate blue channels free to air, I presume.
Is this Slovenia?
In Slovenia. However, in the other nation, and then in Ljubljana, so this was in Kopa, in Ljubljana, there were three of these channels. Again, I was testing.
He counted.
Well, you know, you've got to check all this. However, not in any of the other European nations I visited. But it's a good example to go explain this. So I can see how the panic must have set in for these poor workers who are trying to get this off. I couldn't turn it off. It's just next channel. I was panicking. But again, the question I'm proposing is then, what were the measures in place to prevent that movie from being aired?
Well, look, you know, accidents happen, and I'll tell you about an experience of my own.
Okay.
I like to download movies before I fly.
Yes.
And I downloaded one of Clint Eastwood's movies.
Fantastic.
Fantastic actor, very talented. His early movie.
Which
from
one?
The 70s, Sudden Impact.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And I'd completely forgotten that there's quite a bit of nudity in that. And so I'm sitting on the plane with my iPad, and then all of a sudden the screen is full of nudity, and there was panic. I did panic.
Yeah, and it's a bit like when I was watching that show, and it was a robbery, like a crime thing, but the level of – it wasn't just nudity, Alan. This was very explicit.
Like a prosthetic penis?
No, but these were very explicit sex scenes. And I thought, oh, my God, there's like kids screaming in the background and like old people near me. I thought, I'm really, really conscious. And I thought, hang on, I'm a paying customer. And I didn't even know what this movie was going to show. But it's that funny how immediately we respond. But then again, we're not the workers. Although that's a really good question. What's if you had downloaded?
Well, I'd completely forgotten. So it's completely other type innocent of movie. Mistake.
Yes. Yeah, I know. But it's the exposure, isn't it? I guess technically we're all responsible, I suppose.
I'm gonna throw it to you eventually on how you design something.
All right.
But I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Ooh!
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
All right.
Trace, let me take you to a run of cases.
Can I take you to Funky Town?
He's gone the, funky. A run of cases, which means a trend, a series.
Yes. Well, we've had three cases of individuals, all about operating machinery on earthworks, and interestingly, it's where the machinery was not designed perfectly, and the worker was still held to account for, in most of those cases, it's reversing machinery. But there's also been another case.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, where there's a whole lot of things you can do to make machinery safer when you're thinking about what might happen when the machinery reverses.
I just marked a graduate student group project about this where they analysed incident investigations on someone who was run over. When a utility vehicle pulled over, reversed, and U-turned.
Yeah. I mean, after work from heights, the next thing I get very excited about reversing items of plant or just moving items of plant, and that'll lead us into the statistics, the appalling statistics, both in work from height and moving items of plant. Tell us about this.
Now, look, I want to take it even further and talk about a case that just came out about trenching. And issues with trenching has been around for as long as I've been a lawyer.
And so still it's
nothing
is.
New.
It still
tell
is.
Us about absolutely some of those issues. New. Tell us about some
so,
of those issues.
So the issue is that trenches, just plain and simply, trenches are dangerous. And people get hurt in trenches.
Why?
Killed in trenches all the time.
Why are they dangerous?
They're unpredictable. And what can happen is if you're anything over a metre, the sides can collapse in, and the weight, the sheer weight is enormous.
Yep.
Now, there's been a conviction just recently of a company that had a worker in a trench that was 1.6 metres deep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sarah, I'm just going to reach for my waist. Now, I know Lee got very upset when we bleeped you saying snag drag, so I'm not going to repeat that expression, snag drag. Now, Trace, you're going to bleep me.
I'm twitching. It's already been revealed in a previous episode, right? You're measuring 1.6 metres to everybody who's listening.
Right, Alan's got a measuring tape.
That is 1.6 metres.
Whole body.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So that's, for me, that's up
your
to
eye
my
level. Yep. Eye level.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Now, Alan's got his measuring tape out. Alan, what type of tape is it? Just to let the listeners know.
It's a measuring tape. It's a Lufkin.
This episode proudly sponsored by Lufkin. All things great and small.
You talked about measuring things earlier.
Yes, all things great and small.
It comes with a tape measure.
Anyway, it does. So, you'd make a great inspector. Inspector Alan.
In this particular case, they were very lucky. So the worker who was in the trench, he had been bending over. He was in the trench with a shovel.
Was he shoveling? Yeah, which is really problematic too, just for manual tasks.
He was basically finishing off the bottom of the trench.
Mm.
Now they did that. There was no battering of the trench sides. There was just a straight vertical edged trench, and they had some hydraulic trenching equipment which they weren't using at this particular spot.
Now, was it because of poor access? Because I see that all the time. There's so much equipment to do this job, but then I also hear the arguments, well, sometimes it's poor access, it's awkward, it's whatever.
Well, there was what the company pointed to, and I don't want to overstate this, but they pointed to the SWIMS or Safe Work Method statement for the trenching.
Oh, we have a whole episode on swim or not to swim. They pointed
at the Work Health Safety Management System for the site, and both those documents were saying that workers shouldn't be in trenches, and yet he was a worker
and
in a trench.
Here we are. Surprise, surprise.
But our paperwork is tight.
Hang on. There's very a trench and there's a worker not in the trench. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't believe they... Yeah.
So, sorry, did this worker die that you're talking about?
No.
You're just
talking
about a series?
Very seriously injured. Okay. So the... And he was bending over. Now, there was a spotter, and the spotter asked him a question, and he stood upright. Luckily, I think he'd be dead if he hadn't stood upright.
So let's just explain. A spotter is the extra person that helps identify any hazards and helps with decision-making and communication,
And in this case, it was useful, but the spotter could not get the worker in the trench out of the trench in time, because when the sides of trenches collapse, they just collapse extremely quickly.
Quick.
So this was a trench collapse, square trench collapse.
Now, there was a service pit a metre away from the edge of the trench. There was no specific evidence on it, but it looks as though that might have contributed to the side falling
to
in.
The collapse. Okay.
Yeah. The finding, which has only just come out, so on the 4th of October, which is not very long ago from when we're recording this, and the incident was on the 8th of July 2022, and the worker who was injured, his injuries still have not finalised, so he's still going through it. It was a mature age worker and just completely buggered up his life. Was in South Australia, convicted and fined $75,000, which in my mind...
How much?
Is it 75, which is a very low fine.
Yeah, needle for that type of needle hasn't event. Moved much.
Yeah, well, I think that company should be very grateful to their lawyers. They managed to come out of it with just a $75,000 fine. I would have thought you could have been in the hundreds of thousands for an incident.
But the injury costs will sound like they'll get there.
Yeah. The civil component's separate, but it's the prosecution which really is the focus, and they're very fortunate to, I imagine, no conviction recorded, given that there are probably no prior, so...
It's not so much an issue in South Australia, so where they publish the names of the parties. Yeah.
But now, still,
it's interesting for me because there is nothing new about the dangers of trenches has been around for over 30 years.
So there's no excuse to be able to say that there's no standard of practice understood this.
And it is a systemic problem of people hopping into trenches, thinking the trench is stable and that they're safe, when in fact you couldn't be further from the truth.
So that's 2000. Now, this was a recent case, right?
Yes.
Just now, October.
So, let me take you back to Sunshine Coast 2007. And I mention it because earlier on you mentioned the book coming out, and I've contributed to a chapter in that book, and it focuses...
Transformative work design for sustainable futures.
And I've mapped, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, empathy mapping and victim impact statements. Now, what's that got to do with trench collapses? I recall a 1.6-metre trench. A plumber was now adding...
At Allen's eye level, just for the record, 1.6 metre, right?
This particular worker was filling the gravel, and unfortunately, one of the little bobcats—that's the trade name, front end loaders. What are they called? I call them bobcats. Yeah, the little
digger or something.
The little diggers, but bobcats is the corporate name for them.
Kanga.
Kanga is slightly smaller, but the bobcat. This was particularised as a bobcat.
Isn't it a dog something? Anyway.
No, what are they called? The little front end load. Are they front end loaders? Anyway, mini excavators. But Bobcat was the particular brand.
Yeah.
So Bobcat. So unfortunately, it's a heavy item of plant. It's a moving item of plant. It drove too close to the trench and caused a trench collapse. It tipped, and unfortunately, the tipping caused a fatality because the worker was crushed.
Well, Trish, I can trump that because back in the 90s, I prosecuted a city council. And the trench was not particularly deep, but it was deep enough that when the site collapsed, it was at waist level. And if your diaphragm's crushed, you can't breathe in.
Yes.
It resulted, even though half the worker's body was out of the soil, it was a fatality. And the thing with, In this case that has only just came out, the spot of soil, the trench collapse, it still took them 15 minutes to get the worker out of the trench.
So crushed. 1990s, 2007, 2024.
And I would say over the last, I'm going to guesstimate at least 15 years ago, I had questions after questions about laying cables in Australia for their telecommunications connectivity and the NBN cables, and construction companies asking me, as a fundamental basic manual task risk management strategy, how do we manage the risks of shoveling and deep in trenches? And I'm like, don't do it. It's like, you've got people in there who are saying they can't. the hours that they're working, the repetition, the depth, and then shoveling up over them. If there are so many other reduce exposures,
why is it still a problem? Yeah,
it's still so happening. Well known. But you can purchase machinery that does these trenches.
So you've given
them
some sensible, pragmatic. You've just said don't do it.
But
I love it.
You know what they want me to do is say hold the shovel this way at this angle and suck your guts in. Right?
That doesn't work. So, best case scenario, you get a dicky shoulder. Worst case scenario, you're crushed to death. And the takeaway, the reason why I thought of that and thought of our chapter, because I've devoted, I think I'm the only one who's published on work health and safety victim impact statements.
I can assure you, you are.
What burns in my mind is that particular statement and the partner, that the wife of the deceased said, you know, this is what they do. They had a loving relationship, but what really struck me was she said, like, every morning, do this, we do that, he'd go off to work, and now I'll never be able to enjoy that cup of coffee before he went off to work. And I thought that statement alone should be the reason.
Yeah, their daily life. The smell of that coffee every morning, it's just going to have a different meaning and a little hollow space in this person's life.
In fact, I'd even forgotten. It went beyond, there's only like a page or two statements, but talked about, I think, the kookaburra or a bird in the corner of the fence post. And I thought, this is the stuff that people should be listening to or reading. So this person, that simple pleasure, not having a coffee with the love of their life.
And if we go back to organization, I know, Alan, you've often talked about, hang on, what about the impact to the people who didn't mean to cause that harm, right?
Yes.
Who are related to that. That's in that framework of causational pathways. That's a safety event that then has a trickle-down effect of trauma throughout the organization, people that worked with that person, the leadership, what could I have done better, what explanation, what training should I have done better, what equipment, what systems should I have ordered, should I have fought with my boss who didn't want to pay for this and just advocated and risked my job, whatever the case is, right?
Should we have listened to Sarah?
Listened to Sarah?
Well, that's exactly right. And I just presented at the Australian
Australian Institute of Health and Safety
at their Sunshine Coast Visions Conference.
Good.
And I co-presented with a representative of an employer.
Wonderful.
Who gave a very teary speech about the impact on the organisation. And having the advantage of staring at the front of the theatre, I could see plenty of wet eyes in the audience.
We really need to bring this in. There's no science to this. These are human stories. The science can complement, but the
narrative it is science. Qualitative research is important, and cases are important.
Oh, sorry, but I meant the quantitative, like tick all the boxes. That's great, and I'm all for that.
Yeah,
and we
statistics
have to teach it.
And graphs
love
and whatever.
I've got some here now, I love them. However, what I love more are the stories, people getting around the campfire and listening to this. And you said not a single person was
dry eye.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of my work. I look at scientific papers and I look at regulatory standards, but then I go and do field work and talk to people and understand the realities of work and empathize with their experiences, right? Personas, right? Empathy maps, get real with it, right? Give us the human interest story part to it, and then synthesize all of that with guidance around human factors, human systems integration, work systems. So that you have to have a human story there if humans are in the system.
The point I'm making, back to the very first point, everyone, Sarah, has to come to your party, not just Zena, the photocopy person.
No, it's multiple points of view. So you need to have those. You can't. Yeah,
everyone. Everyone has to come to your party.
It's multiple. So we write challenge statements, business
challenge statements. I love all the terms. Tell us about a challenge statement.
Well, in design, conventionally it used to be called problem-based design statements. I tend to call them now challenge statements because they sound a little more aspirational, as though we can meet this challenge, not just, we got these problems, right?
So challenge is good.
Challenges.
I like it.
What's your challenge? And we do this from multiple points of view.
Yep.
So for you today, it might be, what's the challenge of the producer and the setup of this equipment? And for you know, our passive roles. We still have, what's the challenge of being able to sit here and respond to the microphone?
And stay to the microphone, Alan, to your polemic approach.
To the passionate polemic approach. So anybody who's the maintainer, the operator, the leader, the regulator, the visitor on site of a campus, you write challenge statements so that you can say, how are we in this work system designing it to meet multiple people's challenges? And are there some that we're going to have to say, okay, we trade off, but at least it's known and disclosed about what you're mitigating or choosing to refrain from intervention on right now.
Breakdancers do that.
But you so
no, they're breakdancers challenge. So you for example, for those of you who watch breakdance,
I am not going to go into an Olympics talk right now.
Well, no,
to dishonor us.
I'm just saying breakdancers challenge. So you may present something and then you're challenged. Then that person does it. Is that what you mean? I'm not belittling it. I'm just saying challenge is universal.
What are you saying about our national breakdancers? What are you saying?
Help me here.
But in juries, you challenge.
It's that, you know what, we've all got challenges, right?
So prosecutors stand by prospective jurors, defense lawyers challenge. So
perspectives. I'm talking about perspectives.
Yeah, but
everybody else's perspectives.
You're promoting a very good perspective.
A very holistic, inclusive, multi-framed, multi-dimensional perspective of people involved in a system.
Sarah, I've had to litigate against Trash, and can I just say that he litigates like a breakdancer.
But can I ask, what nationality is that breakdancer from? Because
Slovenia.
No, they didn't have one. But if you suggest I dance like an Australian Olympic breakdancer, I'd say, can you specify?
Stop now. Stop now, boys.
It's all right. We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.